I don't know, that 586 is looking mighty appealing.
Wait, did they actually make a 586?
Yes, they're called Pentiums.
Oh, okay. I don't know, we had our first computer was a 486 SX. And then we didn't have another computer for
20 years.
Until 1999.
That wasn't that far out of age.
By today's standards, no. But, you know, going from 1993 to 1999 without a computer upgrade kind of, you know, leaves behind.
They could run Minesweeper.
Yeah, solitaire.
Or that pinball game that was awesome.
No, we didn't have Windows 95.
Oh.
We had Windows 3.1 on a machine with 2 megabytes of RAM and a 120 megabyte hard drive.
Oh, Jesus.
My dick has more hard drive.
Oh, it's hard and has drive, all right.
The first SD memory card I bought had more storage space than that computer's hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
Only by 8 megabytes, mind you, but still.
Still, yeah. It's, at that point, it's the principle of the matter.
Uh-huh. I could open up that old computer and put that SD card in and have, you know, a 486 with an SSD. That would totally never work.
You just put it into the disk drive, that's what it takes.
But I would need a 5.25-inch SD card.
Yeah, we're going to go retro, you know, because technology is cyclical.
Well, I'm telling you, in a few years, we're going to have, like, this display-size revolution where everything is tall screen now.
Yeah.
And we just go back to 4x3.
It's the way the eyes are naturally meant to see things.
Yes.
Right. We have to look to nature for the answers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to harness the visual acuity of bees. Multi-screens.
Oh, and for documentaries and stuff that have footage from old stuff, they're going to, I assume, anything that was from a prior documentary that was that cropped the full screen stuff to widescreen, they're going to be cropping that widescreen stuff even further back to full screen.
Yeah, back to tall screen.
Yeah.
This sounds like a Dragon Ball Z DVD. Or Transformers the movie.
Transformers the movie at least was meant to be shown in a wide format in theaters.
But was it animated full screen though?
Animated was animated.
No. It wasn't Transformers the movie animated. The 86 movie wasn't an animated in full screen, then cropped.
It was animated in full screen and cropped in theaters even.
Okay.
Because I mean, that's how Toei animated all their movies.
Madness.
Because like on the Sailor Moon movies, you can tell that it was meant they were all animated in full screen, but you can tell they were meant to be seen wide format.
Now, to be fair, the Sailor Moon movies are not meant to be seen.
Yeah, they weren't very good.
The best thing they gave us was Moon Revenge Woo.
Wait, what?
It's one of the song that we use in all the movies.
Oh.
Back in the day when Sailor Moon was the anime we could get in America. Ugh, those were the days.
I like how, like, with Babylon 5, they actually shot it in 16x9, but since it was going to be broadcast in 4x3, they still staged every shot like it was a 4x3 shot. So even if you see it in widescreen, it's just, like, you know, empty space to the sides. They don't ever actually do anything with that, like, compositionally.
In fairness, a lot of their scenes were in empty space, so I guess that makes sense.
It was just sad, though, with Babylon 5's DVDs, because, like, yeah, they could release it in 16x9 the way it was shot, but they had no way to reproduce the visual effects without doing everything from scratch over again.
And apparently the reason that they didn't do it, the effects widescreen in the first place is that they weren't allowed to get a widescreen monitor to do them on.
I'm sorry, there's just no room in the budget for that, guys. Sorry.
So you watch it, and any scene that has like a transition to a special effects shot is a crop from the existing TV master. So there's a visual quality drop, and everything's zoomed in, like for a whole scene length. Sometimes it's really kind of sad. Yeah. It's really kind of sad because the visual quality of the DVDs otherwise is really good. But sadly, Babylon 5 will never be relevant enough again to get like a TNG style makeover.
Yeah,
Next Generation. We should watch that sometime.
What?
We should watch Next Generation sometime.
Oh, okay, let's do it.
That would be.
Podcasts, The Final Frontier. These are the audio logs of the podcast Superhero Time. Their 5-month mission? Explore old episodes of Star Trek, alienate even more listeners, and boldly plow your mom where no one has come before.
Superhero Time presents That One Episode of Star Trek with Chris.
And Scott's like, oh, I don't have any internet.
Hey, Mickey.
I no longer pretend to be a living Cheerio living in my brain.
Scott.
I can cure a rainy day, but I can't cure being a dick.
And Fort Max.
Maybe you're the Andy Dick card.
This week on That One Episode of Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Imagine. Oh. Star Trek and not Babylon 5.
We're watching Frasier.
Oh, Niles, you foppish little twit. Oh, Daphne, we all know you're a lesbian.
I was just kind of thinking, I wonder if there's any like merit to doing a Frasier podcast.
Yeah, obviously. That's where the big money is, you dummy.
Yeah.
Of course there is.
What about Roseanne podcast?
No. Nobody cares about Roseanne.
Obviously, you haven't seen Roseanne in a while. That show holds up.
It actually really does.
Like I said, reinforced floors. Oh!
No. If you skip the first season and the last season, yeah, like, you know, most of that show does stand the test of time.
Yeah. Except for that last season where everything was just a dream.
Well, like I said, you throw out the first season.
Yeah, we just skipped the last season.
Yeah.
Right. Agreed.
Because that wasn't even fun to watch.
You're thinking about Roseanne is trying to mentally place any of the daughters with Debbie Gibson and seeing if you can tell the difference. The answer is you can't.
No, they're pretty interchangeable.
Well, yeah, the one daughter was very interchangeable.
Yeah, didn't it? Like, regenerated more times than Doctor Who.
Really, if they decided to go like totally crazy with producing Roseanne in the last couple of seasons, they should have just every time Becky appeared had her be a different actress.
Mm-hmm. Big guy one time. Like in a wig. Hey, Mom. Oh, okay. Well, I gotta go upstairs for a minute. And comes right down. It's just a girl again.
It's one of those...
I started my period. I gotta go upstairs.
You should have said David played Becky and David.
Yeah, they could have done that for an episode.
Yeah.
But hey, Star Trek.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Frasier.
Yeah, so season 5, episode 18.
I was going to say 20-something. These
are the favorite. Voyages.
Huh?
What?
This is probably my favorite Next Generation episode.
It's a good one.
This was actually absolutely one of the better episodes. You can watch it over and over again. It doesn't get old. It's a great story, good characterization, interesting plot. The only issue with this episode has nothing to do with the episode itself and the fact that we never hear anything else after the episode about what happens.
Well, okay, there's another fault with the episode related to that, but which came down to a matter of how the episode was produced, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But the interesting thing about this, which I think Mickey pointed out when we were picking this episode, like, it's a Beverly episode, but it's also like a techie episode. And that's a really rare crossover.
Techie in what sense?
Or, well, like, you know, it's, I guess, sci-fi more. You know, it's more of a technical problem than it is a...
Typically, yeah, when it's a doctor episode, typically involves an illness or a disease, something the doctor is good at. In this case, Beverly is dealing with time mechanics.
Yeah.
So it's not really in her wheelhouse.
True, all true. But yeah, she is the, yeah, I kind of think she is the driving force in this episode, isn't she?
And, I mean, it's not like the episode is very...
like saving the day. It's just kind of like, she's the one that happens to notice.
Yeah. It's also not like the episode from season 3, Remember Me? Where it's, you know, explicitly a Beverly-focused episode, and she's dealing with this weird problem. It's kind of a stealth Beverly focus, and that's kind of cool, too.
Those are the most dangerous ones. Stealth Beverly focuses.
Yes. Put her in the black uniform for the episode, yeah.
Well, so fan fiction.
A discussion about who everyone's favorite Doctor is in Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned we were saying that Beverly was the worst, but someone countered with something interesting, I thought, is that Beverly is actually probably the Doctor you'd most want to have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because she's not an asshole. She's caring and energetic. She loves her job, and she's warm. And she's all the things that Doctors should be.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, in Star Trek, you usually get McCoy, or the hologram, or Bashir. Right.
Or Andy Dick.
Or Phlox being weird and off-putting.
Or Andy Dick.
She's a really good Doctor in Star Trek.
Right, and she's actually... technically capable too. I mean, she's a scientist and she's good at her job. It's not just that she's warm and friendly, but she's actually a very good doctor.
Yeah.
But in a way, that concept of thinking about her differently gave her a lot more character in my eyes. Because
mm-hmm.
I've always seen her as being kind of flat and uninteresting, but no, she's just good at being a doctor. That's what she is.
Yeah. Yeah, she's devoted her life to her job, and she's being the best she can be at it.
And not being racist against robots.
Well, yeah, nobody's perfect.
Yeah, huge plus.
And she doesn't wear a scant, so, you know, it's plus there.
Look, that time Robert Picardo...
Okay, so...
That time Robert Picardo wore the scant was the best time of your life, and you know it.
It was the best time in everybody's life. The stock market was up. the dot-com bubble hadn't burst.
That's why the stock market was up.
Yeah, it was a magical time, the 90s.
It was a totally different time. We didn't all have cell phones. Some of us had pagers.
Beep, beep. Gotta go.
So excuse me, I have to find a payphone.
So the episode opens up with shit Mickey going wrong. Roy Laren helpfully talks about losing attitude control.
Which she definitely has done.
Yeah, seriously, right? It's like, did they write this line just for Ro?
Mm-hmm. And she snaps her fingers and does a little neck thing when she says it.
It's like one line away from Ro saying, Captain, the bridge has gotten all bitchy.
The bitch compensators are out.
So, without any clue as to what the shit is going on, Picard starts yelling out, abandon ship, and then Caplody. And let's roll the credits.
Yep. Yeah, because at home, when you're watching this shit, you're like... Because you're watching this at home, you're like, what the shit just happened?
And the destruction effects are really good.
Yes, yeah, they took
crap out of a bottle.
Yeah, they took like an Ertl model and filled it with glitter and firecrackers and set it off in a parking garage.
This sounds like you were there.
No, but I've read a lot about it.
And then Tim said, man, that was a good explosion. And everyone shook hands and walked out. I mean,
no,
yeah,
Tim
whoa.
Russ wasn't there. His show wasn't for a couple more years.
It's like you're being a little too specific. No, yeah, this is a good episode. because you get to see
if
something
you see like
that
cold open and you don't watch the rest of the episode, you're dead inside.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, well, show's over, I guess.
Yeah, because it shows something that like you don't normally get to see in a TV series like this is the ship blowing up and everyone dying. You don't normally get to see that, so it's a nice little treat.
Mm-hmm.
It's bittersweet, but it's a treat.
Everything goes wrong and nobody figures out a way to save the day.
Yep.
What's even better is it just drops right in the middle with no explanation of what's going on. There's mm-hmm. no context.
Nope.
And not even clues like, you know, we're going to explain what happens. Like, nope, that was it.
Yeah,
here's the theme song.
And then I like what? The fact that now you have to sit through the credits. You're like, come on, hurry up! What the hell happened? Come on! When a show can make you beg
so
to
you get
to the credits,
the credit and so your prayers get answered, and it cuts straight to a poker game.
Well, that was quite a tonal shift.
Did they film these scenes out of order? So we've got Data, Riker, Worf, and Crusher playing poker, and Data is passive-aggressively trolling Worf in the way that only he can.
To be fair, though,
the Klingon.
To be fair, though, they're playing poker, which is by definition trolling Worf.
This is the things I still can't put my head around: Worf playing poker. That it does not seem like a Klingon game.
And he only ever succeeded at it once.
Worf also drinks prune juice, so, you know.
Yeah.
He's not a great Klingon.
Worf also does not enjoy getting drunk.
What a dumbass.
I'm just saying, if there's, like, any anti-Klingon trait, it's that.
So we don't get to see Crusher play poker very often. And we quickly learn out why she's not invited to play very often. It's because she can beat Riker.
Well, I think we all know why Troy isn't invited. She can read their fucking minds.
Thing is, she does play poker with them sometimes.
Oh, no thank you.
And we know, and
she's just
another,
that bad at it.
In another episode, we learn why Geordi's not invited either, which is that he can see through the cards.
Yes. It's like playing Magic the Gathering versus me in high school. It's had these giant glasses. You can see the reflection of the cards I was holding in my hand. That's how my little brother beat me several times. This is not a joke.
Yes, it is.
Yes, but not a funny one.
I'm laughing. Well, thankfully for Riker, Crusher gets called away for a medical emergency.
Not before Geordi's she, you know, just out-bluffs him.
Geordi's in the sick bay, and he's got a serious problem.
Yeah, they need to pull the ship out of warp and stop.
Geordi apparently is mildly dizzy.
Which is a far cry from his normal issues, which is mild headache. My God, this man is the king of mild headaches.
Apparently the replicator can't replicate aspirin.
Well, I mean, if the visor's anything like the prop...
It's cheaply made.
And gives the wearer headaches.
Ah.
But actually, it actually did give him headaches for what to wear the prop.
Especially in season one.
Yeah, it's because they used a lead-based paint on it, and it absorbed through his temples right into his brain. So
they actually screwed into his head.
Right. His contract sucks.
But yeah, apparently, however they were holding it on in the first season gave LeVar Burton big headaches.
So, you know, now that they've released it on Blu-ray, there's some scenes in certain episodes where, they're close enough on his head you can actually see the transparent elastic band going over his ears from the back of the visor.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm not sure if that's how they were, you know, making it work in season one, but... Considering the prop changed between season one and two, if memory serves, it might just be that the thing was badly fitted to him for the first season.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Geordi's medical history for the past year is just full of minor headaches. I'm sure if you consult Dr. Crusher's medical logs, it's basically the same thing from her point of view.
She actually types in her doctor's notes, sigh.
Oh, she writes notes the same way I do.
But yes, this minor dizziness was apparently enough for him to only still be alive because someone caught him before he managed to fall down the warp core.
That's true. He did mention that he was about to tumble down the whole height of the warp core.
Uh-huh.
Jesus. Poor Jordy.
You know, maybe you shouldn't have that thing, like, open on all sides like that.
Put some fucking railing up
something. We can discuss safety protocols here.
Uh-huh.
OSHA, and, this is
especially if it happens when the ship is shaking from, like it does every episode.
See, that's what I want to see in an episode. A cutaway, the ship's shaking, they get cutaway to engineering, and somebody tumbles over that railing.
Well, they got to do the Wilhelm
with
scream.
Wilhelm?
They do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to.
Okay, well, Crusher is tired of dealing with Geordi's shit, so she gives him a horse tranquilizer, then she takes off to her room, where she has a nightcap and puts a ribbon in her hair to go to sleep.
Yeah, what the hell?
Don't you guys?
Well, she doesn't want her wig to get messed up while she naps.
Oh, okay.
Right. Just like me.
Well, one thing is, with longer hair on, it kind of can get tangled up if you don't have tie it up with something.
Well, if she just take off her wig, it's fine.
As Vicky cuts in and out.
And that is a wig.
Yeah, sadly, what? It is a wig. Her thick, luxurious hair is all fake because apparently Gates McFadden's real hair is kind of thin and straight.
Aw. Well, I don't really like him that way.
You know, not everybody can have perfect hair.
No, not like you.
I know, right? My hair is pretty great.
My God, it's luscious locks. I think that's actually... I've heard people refer to it.
It's like if Fabio's hair was made of a chocolate wonderfall from Golden Corral.
Yes, it's perfect. With the same caloric value.
And
so, made out of fecal matter?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Just, you know, what's a little botulism between friends?
Yes, my fecal hair fountain is running quite well today.
Just a beautiful, flowing, curly river of shit coming off of your head, flowing over your shoulders, blowing in the wind.
But man, it looks great from a distance. As it splatters in the wind. Splattering on the windshields of the cars behind you as you travel down the coastal highway. Your Ferrari.
A bunch of things screaming, splattering all over.
Yeah. People with their windshield wipers, it just smears on their windshields, you know? Oh boy.
How come it's like barely Crusher like lying and take a nap? To, like, shit
I can't hear anything that you're saying, can you?
Oh god damn it.
This is like he's doing the thing where he puts his finger over his lips and goes label. That's what it sounds like. Let's watch Star Trek.
Any better?
Yes.
You're louder.
Anything? Your mother's louder. Then I'll plow her.
Oh, goodness.
Anyway, so Crusher lies down and she hears voices.
In her head.
Zombie,
and she knocks over a glass of water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Water. Okay, so when she gets in bed and lays down, she puts her book down, she puts it over this bowl of blue fluid. And I just can't I can't help but think that must be a 24th century chamber pot.
It stays blue for 4 months. 2,000 flushes.
But yes, and also she puts the glass between her, well, pretty much right between her bed and the light switch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, she's had a bit to drink. She's not thinking too clearly. Beverly's a little bit of a lightweight.
That's what Picard likes her. He owns a, he owns a vineyard. So, is Mickey still here?
I am, but Netflix is crashing, so hold on a second.
Whoops.
All right.
So is your connect. So is your Skype connection.
Ah, for fuck's sake.
Must be the Wi-Fi.
Hold on.
His internet's too slow.
I bet his internet's faster than the rate his router can actually send it out.
Probably, because I had to upgrade all mine when I got my fiber optic. Mm. I was like, man, why's my speed's only this? And I was like, oh, because my router's only rated for that, you dumbass. So I got a new router, and I was like, oh, here's the speeds I was supposed to be having.
Is this any better?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, because I unplugged the Mac and plugged the cord into the laptop.
Oh, okay. That will probably help.
Yeah, it still sounds like you, so I mean it's...
Yeah, I mean the microphone quality hasn't gotten any better, but you're not...
Can you hear my middle finger pointed at the mic?
Can you turn it up a little?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
I can get a little more volume on that.
I can feel it.
All right, so the next morning at the 9 a.m. staff meeting, Dory is droning on about how space is pretty big, Captain. We should probably chart it.
Hey, look, I got some paper and I got a pencil. We can just draw dots for the stars. We got this.
Now, we could fly in there and look at the ship, or I could just fire these probes out and do the job for us.
Yeah, because we're like...
Yes, good, Geordi. Make it so.
You know, these probes are only propelled by rockets for 15 seconds after we launch them.
It's vinegar and baking soda.
But, you know, if we launch one now, it could probably get to the far side of this area by the time we have to leave, or we could just warp the ship over there. Whatever.
That's great, Geordi. Does anyone else have anything else to talk about? Anything. I don't care how stupid or crazy it sounds.
Well, apparently me and a bunch of other people were hearing voices last night.
Data, do you have anything?
Here's what I like, though, is that at this point in the show, they don't say, you're crazy. They say, okay, we're in space. That sounds logical. Let's figure out what the fuck it was.
Right, yeah. We have gone through so many crazy fucking things in our missions in deep space. This might actually be something. They don't just ignore it.
Well, the thing is, though, like, while they're not overtly dismissive of it, they're kind of dismissive of it because, you know, she's like, I heard voices in my room last night, and then I think it's Geordi who speaks up, well, we didn't see anything on the sensors.
Well, yeah, he's an engineer. Of course he's going to rely on his sensors, not some woman.
Yeah, I'm just saying, though, like... Picard kind of backs her up and is like, okay, we'll check into this.
Remember, it's not just her, but she also had several people
But they're not in the room with them. They don't care.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, they are
like saying
a
bunch of people
dismissive.
Agree with me.
Like, yeah, I know. I took it as, huh, wonder what's causing this, because... I didn't pick up anything, so...
Well, and the other thing is, too, like, there's no sign at that point that it's anything urgent to look into, either.
Right. It's nothing dangerous.
It's just like, okay, yeah, well, we might look...
It's not like it's the screams of the dying from, you know, somewhere else in time or anything like that.
And Troy's not pregnant, so, you know, it's probably nothing.
Yeah,
Troy's not pregnant, and they're not all sitting around a table deciding what to do about it.
Before they can figure out to do anything, they're called out to the bridge because apparently there's
because
stuff
they left
in
Worf,
space.
They left Worf in charge of the ship, and he's just gone and fucked something up already.
He's immediately raised shield and targeted phasers on the spatial anomaly.
Oh, please. He would just...
Look, he's not Scotty.
He would never raise it himself. He'd suggest... He'd bring up the suggestion and immediately be shot down.
Yes, he would shoot down his own suggestion.
Like, no, that's like, a terrible idea. Don't listen to me. Suggestion box where you like fold a piece of paper in it. So I can like raise shields in it. And, like, Picard just throws it out every week.
There's an arrangement with the whole bridge crew. They had that suggestion box there, but they've all agreed not to use it, but nobody told Worf that. So that way they know every suggestion in there is just Worf, so they can ignore all of them. It's just this, like, really complicated long-term troll Worf plan.
The only Klingon in Starfleet. I think they get that on lockdown. we'll tell him that it's okay for he's actually a Starfleet officer. We'll just let him hang out on the bridge and make him think he matters.
Yes, this sash is a great honor, Worf. You should wear it.
And on the back it says, I'm a dumbass in English that he can't read.
No, Picard would write it in French because nobody can read that shit.
So while they're looking at the pretty space lights, they realize, oh, shit.
You mean the pretty space anomaly that just appeared right next to them all of 20,000 miles away?
Kilometers.
Yeah, all of 20,000 kilometers away.
It's the same distance,
not appearing until they were right up on it.
Because again, they left Worf driving the ship.
Keeps stripping the gears. He doesn't know how to drive stick.
Well, helpfully, Troy suggests we should leave.
Yeah.
I'll also point out that's almost her only line in the whole episode.
Yeah.
Thank you, Counselor Obvious.
The crew is not easy.
She may be obvious, but she's also the only one trying to suggest to do the smart thing.
Well, okay, so, right. At this point, I got to thinking, too, with what they reveal about how this is all working later, on one level, it could have almost made sense for Troy to be the, point of view focus instead of Beverly.
Right. I agree.
But
yeah,
then you run into the problem that Troy has even less technical expertise to back that up with than Beverly does.
Yeah, but she would be the one you're right, that you would assume she'd be all sensitive to, the time stream or some shit and know that something up was something weird.
If only there was someone on the Enterprise who could suggest changes to the time stream.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And I don't appreciate you just making things up.
If only someone could tell us that this is all wrong.
Well, it's not all wrong, it just, keeps repeating.
Just a little bit of history repeating.
When you're 500 years old, you can't notice, one 5-hour stretch repeating itself over and over again because you just feel like your whole life is that anyway.
Oh, and every Monday I'm sitting here with you assholes doing a podcast.
Well, from out of nowhere.
Oh, shit!
An 80-year-old Starfleet vessel comes careening out of the cloud. And bonks into the starboard nacelle.
Because Worf also can't aim a tractor beam, apparently. the ship comes flying out of the anomaly, and, it's going to take long enough for it to get to them that they can talk about what they're going to do about, getting out of the way of this, because none of their engines or anything work. And they have no shields, conveniently enough.
So, yeah, Riker suggests just opening the main shuttle bay door so that it just decompresses on them and pushing the ship out of the way.
That's insane, Riker. We don't ever use shuttle bay number one for anything.
Yeah, we want the ship to fart itself out of the way?
And, of course, the entire time, Riker has 1 foot up on Data's console.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Worf suggests using the tractor beam to alter the course of the other ship, and amazingly...
No, that was Data.
Yeah. Data, yeah.
Oh, right.
Because, remember, they use the tractor beam to alter the course of the ship.
I was going
to
say, it's amazing, they actually go with that, but it turned out to be a disaster, and that just proves why.
But damn. No, it's Data who suggests that.
Damn it, Data, you ruined everything. Okay, but no, the point still remains that Worf apparently can't aim a tractor beam because, to me, it looks like he uses the tractor beam to pull the ship onto the warp nacelle.
No, to me, it looked like what it was doing was pushing it away, but it was pushing it away off-center. So that
pushing it, it sort of rotated it.
It's pushing it away while rotating it, but it's the rotating that causes it to bonk into the nacelle. And if it was dead on center, it probably would have. It looks like it probably would have gone fine, but.
Good job, Worf.
But yes, the nacelle just exploding is amazing, and that's That's a destruction shot that they just keep reusing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is the same shot. I noticed that when I was watching.
Yeah, that's the one that's a lot trickier, whereas the other one, okay, it's you just build some model kits and just blow up four different model kits.
Well, no, they didn't, actually. From what I read, the whole destruction of the Enterprise was shot once from several different angles. That they didn't have to keep resetting it and doing it again, and apparently Mickey dropped off. Whoops! He's not going to be pleased when he comes back, is he?
No.
No.
But he's small, but he's angry.
Whereas with the nacelle exploding sign, there are two ships in that. Yeah, that's a sort of thing that then they need to do different motion control sequences for each ship. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more visual effects to do to recreate the impact itself. So it makes sense that they would maintain that one shot. And yeah, they put a lot into that. It's a very nice looking effect of like the.
Nice looking effect for something they're never going to be able to use again.
Unless they just, like, you know, paint out the Bozeman and find a way to use the nacelle shattering.
I think it's less paint out and more just not composited in the first place.
Yeah, whatever.
Hello?
Hi, Mickey.
There he is.
That was weird.
That was weird.
Did y'all Skype die too?
Nope.
Just you.
That's weird.
No, we were just here talking about like the value of recycling some effect shots like the engine nacelle shattering. Because that was a pretty boss-looking practical effect shot.
It certainly was. So,
I also
all
like
hands
the thing
man
too,
the ship and kaplowed.
I like the thing too, which this was part of the cold open sequence, where there's like the explosion flash and the Enterprise kind of spins away from that too.
Mm-hmm.
Between that and the suggestion of decompressing the shuttle bay, it's like somebody actually remembered, hey, reactive physics are a thing in space.
Well, see, Riker's always been good about though, because even in the first episode, he's like, nah, we'll let inertia, you know,
yeah,
join
water
the
momentum
two ships
carries
together.
In.
So he's all very classical Newtonian physics.
Well, have you seen, you know, Jonathan Frakes in recent years? He's put away a lot of Fig Newtons.
If he were to fall downstairs, he'd have a lot of Newtons of force. All right.
So, wall of fire on the bridge, and hey, it's poker again. Or it's a wall of fire the next loop.
No, it's in this one.
Okay.
It's in all of them, I think.
In one of them, it's like a lot more prominent.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't remember which one.
In one of them, it's very clearly they just composited one thing to fire over. In some of the others, they composite different fires for different things.
Okay, and then I guess I'll go ahead and add this here. Like, I was talking about this on Twitter a few weeks ago. It's tragic that we have to keep watching the Enterprise blow up with all hands lost, but the real tragedy in this episode is Rolaren's hair.
Oh, you don't like that
bad
cut.
Wig.
Oh, I don't like that cut.
Oh, I like the cut. I think it's hot. I like bad girls, what can I say?
No, this isn't bad girls, this is bad hair, Scott. No, hey, just compared to every other appearance she has and what her hair looks like, this is inexplicably different and wrong and bad. It's a very bad haircut.
We have spaceships blowing up in a temporal loop, and we're worried mainly
about
the wig
of
one actress. Only on this podcast. Oh my god. Oh, you fuckers. No. Pause this. We need to talk about Rolaren's wig, y'all.
Look, if there was an equivalent blog to Fashion It So, but for their hairstyles, that would totally be, you know, a post. The cause and effect of Rolaren's hair.
You're going to write a novel now, aren't you? You're going to make $1 million.
Mickey, you still there?
I've lost Netflix.
Oh.
It's not connected even to the webpage anymore.
That's not good. Wonder if that's related to your Skype going out.
Maybe.
Maybe you're having DNS problems.
You're a DNS.
So, how would we like to proceed?
Poorly?
No, that's how we've done it previously up to this point. How would we like to go forward?
Yeah, the bad and the bad thing is, like, this is the point in the episode where things start to actually change.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we can just fake it by, you know, repeating the last loop's worth of events.
Yeah, now they're playing poker. Everything's fine.
Oh, but things are getting weird.
Yeah. And in the episode, too.
How you doing over there, Mickey?
Poorly.
So you can edit this out, right?
I could.
No, I'm sure our listener would just love to hear us dealing with technical issues.
Well, okay. The way I figure it, like, whoever listens to this is more listening to it for us than for the actual content.
Oh, you poor deluded little man.
I know, right?
Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, we're here. Where are you?
Okay.
Did you get Netflix back?
Yeah, it's back now. I'm loading up the episode again. Fucking.
Yeah, it's just one of those nights, isn't it?
It's been one of those nights ever since the Mac started supporting Skype.
Ah.
Oh my god.
What?
I tried a little Next Generation and 30 Rock starts playing. Because that makes perfect goddamn fucking sense.
No, it happens to me too. I click on the thing. It's like, oh, the thing enlarges. I click on it. Then it opens up some entirely different show.
Is it the Frasier episode? Could that be perfect?
Holy shit. Awesome.
Okie dokie. So, poker? Yep.
Poker.
Who? What?
So we're back where the episode first started, right? The theme song. Mm-hmm. And it's poker again. And they start to think, this seems a little familiar.
No, but we... No, Worf...
I?
Yeah, Worf's got the whole... I'm having the Klingon version of Deja Vu. It's kind of the same thing, but a lot more violent.
It involves cheek biting.
I had the feeling where we've done this
before.
Yeah, last Tuesday night.
I have a feeling you're... gonna call my bluff.
Yeah, so now they really start figuring out, okay, something really weird's going on. Now they're all feeling it. They're all being able to guess that something is weird's going on.
Now, what I love though, is when Crusher goes to sickbay, she's like, Jordy, have we had this discussion before? I was like, no, I've never come to you before.
Yeah, I'm just first time I've met you. What are you talking about?
I better check my records. It's like Jordy.
Well, not with dizziness.
No, just minor headache.
Well, now that you mention it, my head does kind of hurt.
I've only been talking to you for a few minutes. Weird.
Okay, come over here to the torture chair.
Ooh. I gotta go to the holodeck for that. Computer, lock the door.
This is a holosuite program, not a holodeck program.
Oh, you're probably right. There's only wholesome stuff on a Galaxy class.
Yeah, tell that to Barclay.
Ew. Well, not while he's in there, I'm not.
So, again, Crusher returns to her quarters and has her nightcaps.
Right between her and the remote for the lights.
Puts a glass next to the light switch.
Yeah.
And then there's the voices, then she breaks the glass.
That looks like it hurt, too.
It's almost like you've seen this before.
So she runs straight to the captain, who at 3 in the morning is in his ready room.
Yeah, I noticed that. He's just like, he's good.
Also, I'd like to take this moment to point out Beverly has changed into her uniform, but neglected to remove the ribbons from her hair.
Well, she is going to go see the captain.
You know, I mean, I'm just thankful that we've gone to see the captain in the middle of the night, and he's wearing a full shirt.
Why are you thankful for that? I'm disappointed.
Yeah, he needs, like, his own version of Kirk's green wraparound thing.
Oh, God.
Still with the suede panels on the shoulders.
Mm.
The captain's bathrobe.
Yes.
And then, like, how his nightshirt is just a gray version of his usual shirt, but apparently he later puts on his regular red shirt over that.
So his okay, so like you know his... how he's got the leather jacket thing starting in season 5. So what he's wearing awful. Now is the shirt under that's normally underneath the jacket.
Yeah, no. So this is just the same thing as his normal uniform, except it's gray. So he walks into his office and goes, "Computer, engage night mode," and it changes the color of his clothes.
So in the morning, in the ready room, we're discussing the same things again. Except now, they're a little more certain that there's some shit going on. What it is, we don't know. We don't have time to know, because it's time for the anomaly again.
So then what happens?
Well, hold on a second. Let me refresh myself. I don't remember what happened next. Oh, that's right. Frazier comes barreling out of the mass. And they use the tractor beam, and it tilts the old Reliant-y piece of shit into the nacelle, and kaboom!
Kablowy!
3 Enterprise explosions in 1 episode. This episode just keeps getting better and better with every loop.
That's gotta be a record, right? Also, before we move on to the next poker game...
So, this week on Superhero Time, we're covering Season 5, Episode 18, Cause and Effect.
Well, his lag is bad tonight, guys.
Yeah, I know. He's about 30 minutes behind us.
Right. So, we found a picture. Found a picture of the TNG uniform, but as a bathrobe, and it looks awesome.
Yes, that is a real product you can buy.
Now then, I want just any of y'all to deny me that with that smile, he's got an erection underneath that robe.
Well, now, Mickey, if you were wearing that bathrobe, wouldn't you?
Yes, but I'd have enough class not to smile about it.
I wouldn't. Look how bow-legged he is. He's hanging some grapefruit there.
No, you see where the black part goes up above the belt line? That's actually an optical illusion. That's where his dong is pointing the black fabric up.
Oh, so he leans to the left a little. Okay.
Yeah.
So
he's a southpaw.
If any of you have a spare $52 that you just have to spend right now, that is a thing you can buy this very moment.
But I'm going to wait for the Voyager version.
I wonder.
I tell you what, this thing, what's great about this this command robe, it's one size fit all. Also, it's 200% polyester, because they list 100% polyester twice in the description.
It's double polyester.
I like polyester.
Yeah, it's double polyester.
The sad thing
about better.
This robe is it so close to being the next generation dress uniform, but it's just a little bit off.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
The collar's a little looser, and that's it.
It looks more comfortable than the TNG dress uniform. Also, sadly, I cannot seem to find a Voyager equivalent of this.
What about a Bajoran one?
How about a 7 Ooh. Of 9 one?
A Cardassian bathrobe.
Oh my god, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I want to see that now.
Okay, where were we?
Poker?
Oh, yes. I cut right back to the episode and said, with Crusher saying, a feeling of deja vu. So, yes, poker game time. This time, they all are recognizing the cards as they come out.
Yeah,
Data's very confused because he's the only one who's left out.
Data's like, wow, that was amazing.
Yeah, this is the greatest day ever.
Data's all like, I am thinking of a number from 1 to 1,573,468.
Is it 2?
That's amazing.
So, Crusher has a sick bay, and Geordi's there. And the captain comes in. She's like, you feel like we go through this shit a lot here? She like side glances over at Geordi.
So, Commander Headache over here came in again.
Yeah, major migraine.
Like, I'll get around some tests to see if there's anything wrong with them, but I had a feeling it would all come up with bullshit. So I decided, no. Why don't I scan what the actual problem is going to be, and it's his fucking visor.
Yeah, I'm going to science the shit out of this.
Yeah, and this is basically the point in the episode where it turns over and Beverly's kind of being a badass about this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it turns out, for reasons, Geordi's visor is recording after images of the time loop.
Okay, no. I understand why you think that from the dialogue, but the dialogue is misleading. So they made up this whole, like, you know, kind of field of energy that's surrounding them. And there are modulations in that, and the visor is interpreting those and basically creating false images that he's seeing, which are disorienting him. It's not that he's seeing echoes from the other time loops in his vision.
Okay.
See, that's the only thing about a podcast. You can't see us nodding and smiling politely to you.
I can hear it, though.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I like when you say nodding. It's like, oh, yeah, we're agreeing. And you say smiling politely. It's like, oh, no. We're saying that's bullshit.
Yep.
Look, no, this is one of those, like, subtleties that you can only come to understand after watching the episode, like, 30 or 40 times. This week.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or just once. Because it sort of accomplishes the same thing.
No, you need to watch it 30 or 40 times.
So, let's go back to Troy. It's Crusher's quarters. And she carefully sets her drink way far away from her bed.
Mm-hmm. Like on the coffee table.
Just call it a hunch.
And she goes to bed with her tricorder in hand.
It has a vibrate mode, so.
And when the voices start up, she immediately leaps up and starts scanning. Because Crusher is smart.
Yep.
But she's not so smart that she doesn't knock over her dumbass glass on the way out.
I like the extra meaning she gives to it. She looks back and she's like, oh, maybe things can't change.
So she runs down to engineering to have Geordi and Data analyze her findings. And the voices that she recorded was every voice on the ship.
So I like that they had to go like through a few processes for this. Like, they can have the computer analyze the sound and remove all the things that in it that aren't voices. But then they have to have Data listen to it on loop to try to break down what those voices actually are saying. Like, apparently the computer can't do that, but Data can.
Well, maybe he just wanted to feel useful for once this episode. You know, maybe they just gave that to him. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, that's more than they gave Troy this episode.
Who?
Yeah.
I'm unfamiliar with this character, would you speak?
So, is Data supposed to be smarter than the Enterprise?
I think it's a matter of Data has, like, the same range of capability, but he also has, like, that intuitive leap quality.
So I was saying, also, Data's got less he's got to focus on at the same time. Like, Enterprise got to focus on all kinds of requests at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Look, right. The Enterprise computer has to have at least, like, 10 processor cores in there. It can handle it.
Yeah. It's like an i7, man.
Whereas Data can focus all of his processing power on one problem.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure if they shut down, like, you know, every deck and turn off environmental controls, the Enterprise could solve it just as fast as Data could.
Yeah, that was fucking scary when he took over the Enterprise. Oh, jeez.
So, they science together the explanation of, oh, we're caught in a time loop. Here's an infographic describing it in case you're too stupid to figure out what a time loop is.
Hi, Troy.
Troy doesn't say anything, he's just looking around confused, like,
huh? Yeah, she really is. I really think she's high. I think Marina Sirtis was just high this entire episode.
Probably wouldn't be the first time.
No. Can you blame her?
So, here in the ready room, I like the sort of weird dynamic we got set up for the episode, where Crusher is kind of the leader of this episode.
Yeah.
But Geordi and Data are doing all the footwork, yet Picard is still being treated as the leader. So it's this weird quad team we've got going on. We're certainly clear who's the most important character in it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what is good about Ada.
It's not Picard.
No, it's not Picard.
Picard is just saying, make it so.
Yeah.
But the three of them all turn to him for guidance of what to do, and then Picard's just sort of like pointing his finger saying, make it so.
Well, I mean, I don't think guidance. I think they just need the final word. I mean, you just need someone to approve what they're doing, and he's smart enough to go, yeah, you know what you're talking about, do that thing. That's what leaders do sometimes. Right. They just go, yeah, that thing you want to do, that. But you have permission.
They are turning to him more often than they would if it was just a solo character focus episode.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's more because if it was a solo character focus episode, it wouldn't necessarily be a problem affecting the entire ship. But since it is a problem that's affecting the entire ship, they have to go through Picard to get things done.
Right, but this whole scenario is so not normal Star Trek storytelling. It's interesting.
Yeah, in no, way, absolutely.
In the way it's a character episode for Beverly, but it's also a team episode.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it doesn't really skew too heavy one way or the other, so Chris, it's a really weird dynamic where it's both.
It's sort of like a Kobayashi-focused episode in that it's that her focus episodes never are on just one person.
Yeah, yeah.
As Scott has no idea what that reference means.
But he understands the description of the reference. So.
Oh, sure.
Friggin' nerds.
So, okay, they have this great idea since they realize, okay, so echoes in this field are carrying information from before or something like that. Why don't we do that too?
Great. Well, how?
Yeah. And then everyone at the table looks at Geordi and Data and goes, well, nerds, how do we do this?
And Data responds, well, actually, Captain, we can use science.
Yeah, we can use science to send a thing to the future, Flavin.
Just as a side note, why did animators make so many Jerry Lewis references? It's like every episode they make fun of him.
I don't.
Or they're homaging him. I'm not certain which. They hate him or they love him.
Perhaps they loved him so much it turned to hate.
Anyway.
It's funny, though, because I was just considering that the other day.
So they come up with a plan to use science to put an SD card into Data's head to carry a simple message. Like, don't.
Oh, like a few characters.
Maybe right. One word if it's short. Because, you know, they can totally fix all these problems they're having by sending a one-word message to the future.
And so
then we get, like, you know, what ordinarily would seem really out of place, but is just kind of following through where Beverly is down in engineering with Geordi and Data putting this thing together. And they're kind of consulting with her, and, like, they're all kind of going to each other, like, do you feel like you've done this before? No? That's probably a good sign, right? Right?
Yeah, that was actually a neat kind of thing they did. It's like, we don't feel like we've done this before, so maybe we're making progress. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because really, when you think about it, this is like a Lovecraftian nightmare, you know?
Where you're stuck in a time loop and just aware of it enough to know that something's wrong.
Right, but by the time you figure it out, it's already too late, you've reset, and it's just like you spend all of eternity with that feeling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like Dante's Inferno or something. I don't know. That's terrifying.
But I just think it's
the strip club and Beetlejuice.
Exactly. Oh my God! How did you know?
I just think it's interesting. Like Beverly is hanging out in engineering while this is going on because, like, in some respects, this is her project that's being carried out. She doesn't have anything she's directly contributing to it, but like this is something. Like we've been saying, she's taking the lead on to a large degree.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, how often do you see her in engineering?
Very rarely, to think of it.
She's quickly becoming my favorite character in the show.
She also might be there just to make sure Geordi doesn't almost fall down the warp core again.
She goes and puts one of those toddler leashes on him.
And then he just hangs himself.
It does a Geordi roll and gets wrapped around his neck.
All right, so the ship goes kaboom again.
Woohoo!
So,
but just before it does, Data reaches over and punches things into his arm.
Yeah, because he's got that thingy bobber, and he, like, right before they blow up, he reaches over and types something into his little arm pad.
He typed in the word, oh shit.
Captain, I've defecated myself 12 times today, which is strange for an android. I don't know what it means. I do not know what it means.
It means next time don't go to Super Salad before your shift starts. Okay, so poker time. So they're all like, this seems familiar. I know what these cards are going to be. So they call it the cards, and no. It's all threes.
Yeah, this is awesome. It's all threes, and then three of a kind.
For everyone.
For everyone. Come on, C-3PO, tell us the odds of that happening. Dick.
This is highly improbable.
Oh, yeah! No!
I like that, too. I don't remember if it was this or when they were calling out what the cards were last time. Data didn't say it was impossible. He just said, this is highly improbable.
Right.
Subtle,
he said it in that way, like, y'all bitch is crazy. This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
N-N-A-S?
Yes.
N-E-S?
Hey, how you choose to get your potassium's up to you. Potassium. Assium. So
the medical bay, Crusher is once again analyzing another one of Jory's problems.
It says here you're a whiny little bitch.
I better run a test on that. It's just the bitch center of your frontal lobe.
Oh, here it is. It's your vagina.
It's full of sand.
Jordy, your tits. You need to calm them. here's some ointment. Rub these on your tits to calm them. Just right on the nipples. I'm sorry, go on.
Picard is up in his ready room reading his book. Next to his book display.
This is what a book looks like.
This is what we used to use before pads.
All the women were very uncomfortable.
We used to have all our pages in one leather-bound tome with only 1,000 pads all over our desk.
Right.
I want to see somebody take a bunch of prop replica pads and bind them together as a book.
I want to do that with iPads. Are you kidding?
Well, you'd have an easier time with that. I think iPads are thinner than Star Trek pads.
Yeah, by quite a bit. I think they're millimeters. It's crazy.
As soon as somebody gets those flexible LED displays down...
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, we'll have iPads as thin as those silicone cutting board mats.
Mm-hmm.
Just roll them and put in your pocket when you're done.
So Crusher calls the captain down to say, hey, Doherty's visor's picking up shit. And we're like, yes, we know this part. So fast forward a little bit, and Geordi and Data are in engineering, and Data is scanning for something. He's picking up lots of threes. And
he was running a diagnostic on the warp drive, and all the results came out as three.
Okay, yeah. Okay, now this part is right. I'm so on board with this episode. I've got to let this slide.
Okay, what?
Because it makes no sense. Okay, Data subconsciously rigging the deck to count threes. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
How does Data subconsciously rig up the warp drive to come up with threes as a result? Or threes showing up all over the ship?
Well, because he's the operations guy. He touches every system on the ship. He's ops. And I don't think he's changing the actual thing. He's just making the display come up threes. He's just selecting things to make threes just happen to come up.
Okay.
I mean, I get what Mickey's saying, and I kind of agree with it. And I think a lot of it comes down to they had to do so many loops before the solution loop to establish what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have enough time left to really devote to how this was going to manifest itself.
And I do like that they pretty quickly figure out that, okay, this must be a message from a earlier loop, but what does it mean? Maybe we run a level 3 diagnostic?
Yeah, right.
On everything?
Level 3.
They said they were going to have the computer run a pattern matching algorithm on the number 3.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have the computer identify every pattern that can resolve in a 3.
Great in job, past us. This clip was bullshit.
Yeah. 3. That's how many more seconds I'm going to put up with this bullshit.
But no, I think in some context where this loop could have been watched in more detail, they probably could have made this part work a little bit more strongly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of they had to get the solution done within the space of 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know... I suppose,
if you read between the lines, like Scott was saying, like, Data has operations as a subconsciously setting things up to show up as three.
Right, right.
That works.
Yes, and if you imagine it being like a layered process where, you know, he's doing inputs on one thing, everything's working fine, but as he's doing that, he's setting up something on the side without even realizing it, so that later when he goes to something else, then the threes start popping up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, there's ways to interpret this where it comes out better, and that's basically what I'm saying. They just didn't have time to, like, flesh this out where you don't have to interpret it for yourself.
Yeah, but that gets a point across. Yeah. Okay, Data's the one doing it. Of course, we don't know that at this point, but threes are just popping up everywhere. What does it mean?
Well, no time to figure that out. Here's the spatial distortion.
Yoo-hoo!
Here comes Frazier.
Niles!
So, how are we going to solve this problem?
Well, not move to Seattle from Boston.
Well, we could... We could explode the shuttle bay, or we could use the tractor beam.
Damn you, Lilith, this is all your fault.
So once again, they decide to use the tractor beam until Data looks up at Riker and realizes, three.
He's got just three, like, legs. I mean, look at him, he's like sitting there and he's just swinging sausage next to him, so yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame that you know, the message Data sent from the last loop wasn't Dick.
Right.
Or Riker.
Yeah.
I would presume that instead of sending, like, the word 3, he just sent literally the digit 3.
No, I think it's funnier if he sent the word.
How about,
or he did, like, some complicated algorithm to send the number 3. It's like
he sent
3
it,
times... 3 divided by 3.
No, he sent it as an 8-bit binary string.
Right, yeah. 001001100.
Wait, is that actually right?
No.
Okay. I was contemplating kicking you off the podcast if you knew the binary for 3 and 8-bit off the top of your head.
No, I'm a good programmer, but I don't code in binary.
My dad can count in hex.
Yeah, your dad could, though. That's not surprising. And by that, you mean curses.
Yeah, binary in 3 would just be 1. Just be 1-1.
Well,
3 in binary would just be 1-1.
If you get 2 characters, why don't you put hashtag 1 for number 1? That's a little clearer, isn't it?
I believe it's called an octothorpe.
You're just making up words now. It's the glip-glop key.
Hey.
Dervish.
Hey, only they can use that word.
Dervish?
Glip-glops. You can't just say that. You can't just call someone that.
So, they blow the shuttle bay, and all the poor workers working in the shuttle bay get blasted out of space.
Well, it's like Team Rocket's blasting off again.
Damn my red shirt!
Team Rocket ship. So, with the Bozeman successfully deflected...
Well, not really. Them. It's just, you know, the Enterprise successfully pushed out of its way.
Well, whatever.
It farted out of the way.
With the trouble successfully deflected.
All the ship's systems magically come back online.
Yeah, which makes no sense, but whatever.
There's a lot you have to just kind of let gloss over in this episode because there's not time enough to make it.
Yeah. Because my fiance was asking stuff like this, too. She watched this with me. She was like, wait, now all their stuff just works all of a sudden? How come everything is fine now? I was like, well, because they broke the time loop. And I had to actually draw a picture and explain the time loop.
Wait, really?
Yes. She's not a sci-fi person. She's getting there. She's
asking questions.
She's asking questions and she understands. And so
no, I just like that you literally had to draw a picture to explain it.
Well, she doesn't. She's not exactly, you know, into temporal mechanics like the rest of us uber nerds. So.
Yeah, but you drew a picture to explain it. That's great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had the.
That's not a condemnation of your fiance. That's just it's funny that you actually drew a picture.
Oh, because you know, someone asked me a question like that. Yeah, because me, it's just like, I get giddy when someone asks me a question like that. I'm like, ooh, hold on a moment, let me get the graph paper.
You would have graph paper.
Graph paper on the tip of my dick.
Well, what?
the erection.
I feel like we got abused. I feel like I've been triggered. What the hell is that? A little violated.
Where were we?
I don't know, but all I know is I got paused right now and I'm looking at Frasier.
So here's Captain Frasier.
He's got a coffee filter around his neck.
He's like, hey, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah.
I am Frasier. And Picard's like, oh shit, I'll live for this? It's like, you're never going to believe this, dude. hold the shit up.
Yeah.
24th century, I'm the Captain Enterprise. You're fucking old.
Yeah.
No, that's impossible. We just left Starbase 3 weeks ago.
But beards are still in fashion. Although, I do like the fact that the Captain of the Bozeman just does not even notice the Klingon on the bridge.
Well, he doesn't really seem that taken by, like, you know, how everybody's wearing a different kind of uniform, either.
Right. Or he has a massive, super high-tech spaceship.
Well, no, he says, you know, your ship is unfamiliar to us. And yeah, he should know, he's Frasier.
Oh, those old Soyuz classes. Oh, I miss the ones with the roll bars. Miranda's just don't look right without the roll bar.
They're safer with it, too.
Okay, Scott, nerd questions here.
Yo.
The Pegasus, what is it called?
Oberth class.
Oberth class.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on with that ship?
That was one of the ones where they needed to come up with something quick. And they had a sketch laying by, and I mean, as far as I recall of the story, this is something that was highly experimental. They need something quick. They didn't have a size for it. They didn't know what they were going to use it for, but they needed a ship quick. So they said, use that. And that's the only ones that I think Probert or whoever was designing ships back then, he had it laying around.
So basically, it was just like, we're not paying attention, run it.
Pretty much. I mean, they wanted something unique and kind of weird looking, and that's kind of what they had laying around. There's the next ship they wanted to use in the media.
Because like, there's no deflector dish, there's no Bassard collectors. And how do you get from the saucer section to the engineering hull? I've got no fucking clue.
I know. It's a
back and forth.
It is a weird little ship. I completely agree.
And yet that became the standard science ship.
But it's so tiny. That's the other thing. It's such a small little ship. Oh, my God. Say, how many decks is that thing? It's only like six decks or something.
It's two decks.
Oberth class.
Upper deck or lower deckage.
13 decks, which seems like a lot to me, but whatever.
Yeah, that thing doesn't seem like it should be that much bigger than the Defiant.
No. It's about Defiant sized.
I think the Finally has 6 or 7 decks, doesn't it?
Yeah, but keep in mind that the Oberth has that big engineering hole in the bottom.
Yeah, it has that big keel.
Yes. That's exactly what it is. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a goofy little ship. I like it, though. It's cute, and it's very unique looking.
The only reason I don't have a problem with it is because it's basically just ubiquitous.
Yeah, it's a workhorse ship, you know, like the Miranda class.
Yeah, it was just everywhere in Next Generation and Deep Space Nine.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they needed a little science ship, that was it.
Yep, because that's what it is. It's just a little science ship you send out there to do very non-dangerous, very boring work.
And apparently it's not made of matchsticks like the Galaxy classes are.
No. Well, they're so small, they're hard to hit.
Yeah, they got that big open space in the middle, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, even though like, a torpedo is dead on, it's just going to sail right through. You got to wonder, though, like, you know, where is the center of balance in that ship even at?
Yeah, I wonder about that. Oh, these other ships anyway. I have issues sometimes with the balance and the center of gravity and inertia with ships like this. But you know what? It's Star Trek. Who cares?
There's no gravity in space.
No, because they build starships on the surface of the Earth and they get them up into space. You know, that's apparently a thing that they do.
In like Voyager continuity.
Well, see, Voyager makes sense because it's actually a ship that can do that. Not like the Enterprise A or whatever, or the JJ-verse.
Don't they build all the Starfleet ships, like, on and around Mars?
Space Dock, I thought.
Yeah. No, not Space Dock. That's not a construction yard. That's a civilian place. Utopia Planitia is around Mars. There's another shipyard that's in Alpha Centauri. That's another big one. They do all their experimental stuff around Alpha Centauri, I think.
Do they actually build the ships at Utopia Planitia, or is that just a design facility?
No. They build them there, too.
Okay, so it's a manufacturing as well.
Yep. And there's a few, like, you know, dry docks and stuff around the around Earth, between the moon and all that kind of stuff. They're just kind of spread out. But yeah,
is Utopia Planitia dry dock like a dry county, where like, you can't build ships without liquor there?
You can't dock
like,
here.
The whole thing with space docks as a comparison to dry docks doesn't even make sense anyway, because it's not like you drain the space out of them so you can work there.
That's true.
This is a space-free zone. It's just like solid matter.
Just fill the whole thing up with water.
Yeah, apparently Frazier had been stuck in the time loop for how
87
long?
Years.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And the Enterprise was stuck in it for what? Like a month or something?
17 days.
Yeah.
They missed all their favorite shows.
Yeah. Netflix won't be invented for another 20 years.
Yes, and then these guys are promptly never seen again.
And that's my only problem with this episode, is
except
that I want to know what happened.
There's novels on them.
Yep.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Really? Good.
I don't know. I never read them.
Mm.
I only found out they existed last month.
Are any Star Trek novels good?
Yes. Yes.
Well, then there's a chance that these could be good.
If you ever get the chance, read the novel written by Andrew Robinson about Garrick's past. It's actually really good.
I remember there was a really good early DS9 novel written by Defeda Pugh.
Who?
Who's sort of an alternate. He's an author. I'm probably mispronouncing his name grossly. But it was about mostly DS9 is falling the fuck apart and everyone dying for the reset. Yeah, it was written really well. It was fun.
This is weird.
What?
Okay, so I'm reading the Memory Alpha of the Bozeman. The Bozeman was forced to make a course correction as a result of the gravitational effects and Amargosa's star's destruction by Dr. Tolian Soren in 2371 in Generations. So the Bozeman was, before they get in the time loop, they actually had to, they were actually affected by the...
Wouldn't that have been 2271 then?
It says 2371.
But that's TNG years.
I guess so, but maybe it's like a different Bozeman?
Yeah, I think the crew got, you know, taken off of their Soyuz-class ship and got given a new Bozeman.
I would imagine. In 2373, the Bozeman was part of the fleet fighting a Borg cube during the Battle of Sector 001. The Bozeman fought alongside the USS Defiant as part of a mobile unit.
Well, we saw how well that worked out for the Defiant.
Yeah, and we saw the other ships got blown the fuck up.
Or the Defiant's fine. It's just drifting about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can salvage it. I like to, like, you know, Deep Space Nine production was not consulted on the use of the Defiant in that movie. So they're just like, yeah, we're pretty much going to ignore that.
Yeah.
So it was never brought up in Deep Space Nine that the Defiant got wrecked by the Borg.
Right. Well, the other thing that...
Not even in the past tense.
Yeah. Well, and the whole thing with Worf just conveniently being there so he can be in the movie, even though he's supposed to be on DS9 at the time.
Well, yes, I think the whole trick was, you know, he took the Defiant to go help fight the Borg because that's what the Defiant was for.
True.
Even though it's like a week's trip to Earth or something from Bajor.
I think that's all I can see everyone is willing to accept, just have Worf back with the crew he needs to be with.
Well, and like, the first contact hand wave for Worf being there is a lot better than, you know, Insurrection or Nemesis. Where it's like, Worf's on vacation, and he visited the Enterprise.
Right. I'm going to go back to my old office. Woo!
He didn't have an office.
Well, you know what I mean. It's like, you know, nowadays, just going back to your old office for vacation.
So why wasn't the second Defiant... How come it didn't have an A?
That's a good question.
Because what's consistency?
Yeah.
Baby, don't hurt me?
Maybe it's because it was a ship of the same class. Because like,
because the Enterprise and the Enterprise A were the same class.
Yeah, they're both Constitution class. Just refit, absolutely.
That's a good question, then.
Yeah, it really is. It probably is just
I'm going to go with because it's not the Enterprise.
Are there any other A's or B's that aren't Enterprises?
That's a good question. To Google!
Or Memory Alpha, even.
Well, yeah.
Well, Google will search Memory Alpha quickly. Memory Alpha search will save, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Not that I can think of. Of course, in the MMORPG and Star Trek Online, you can rename your ships, and you can add the letter designation afterwards if you want to or not. Mm-hmm. So if people like a name of a ship, they can put an A or a B or something after it. If they get a new one and get it upgraded, uh-huh. you can change the name and put a different designation on it, which I think is cool.
I want the Enterprise X for the 2390s when it was all extreme.
Oh, wait, I got a picture for you then. Hold on.
The bridge is all flannel.
Wait, where's it at? No.
While Scott's working on that, though, next week we should do Deep Space Nine, and then after that move on to Month of Hell, I think.
Suck okay. This, guys.
Like, let's finish out our cycle, and, oh boy, what is this?
Yep. I like that.
That's fairy gargoyles.
Yeah, well.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But man, look at Crusher. Holy crap. Look at Troy. Holy crap.
Poor Troy.
Yeah, she turned to a 12-year-old Japanese girl.
I don't know what that shape her body is making is, but it does not look healthy.
But it looks mexy.
You mean where her hips are wider than her shoulders?
Yeah, that.
So, apparently, the rumor is this was actually going to be a TNG animated series.
And yeah, it wasn't.
That's what I heard. I heard a whole page about it.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah. They're wearing belts. It's weird.
Well, Troy and Crusher aren't wearing belts.
But, no, the reason why I could say no to this is because the animated... It's too detailed to be an animation model.
Well, these are just the design specs. I mean, these aren't the final product. Because it never got made.
I mean, if it was being made now, these would be credible as animation models.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a little bit too... it doesn't look like it was built in the 90s either. Like, the designs just don't look quite right for that.
Don't think so?
Yeah.
Looks kind of late 90s to me, but... Mm.
It looks like something more modern trying to be late 90s.
Mm,
specifically of the lady's hair does not work for 90s style.
It's kind of like, okay, so if you just described to someone what G.I. Joe Extreme was without giving them any visual reference and told them to draw it, you'd get something like this.
And I want to say that Riker's hair does not look very 90s.
Mm.
In that it's too detailed.
Yeah. Yeah, animated Riker hair would just be Xanatos.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Animated Riker would just be Xanatos.
Magnificent. Yeah, I really could go for Next Generation cartoon. Now.
Well,
this would be the time to do it because everybody's still alive.
Yeah, and they still have voices.
It's not like Brent Spiner's doing anything else.
It's not like most of these people are doing anything else.
Except for Patrick Stewart, he's doing kind of like everything.
Yes, but that means he'd be up for this.
That's true. He probably would.
Like, Patrick Stewart's doing everything, and he's also at that point in his life where he just wants to have fun.
Yeah, and he's doing a pretty good job at it. Yeah, say. Dude is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I just love how different that Picard is from Patrick Stewart. Because, you know, growing up, you see him, you're like, oh, well, he's such a hard ass, and he's like this Shakespearean actor, blah, 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 blah. But he's such a little
fuckish kid. And then you see the bloopers, and he's like, oh.
I know, he's just swishing around the bridge. So funny.
It's like, I don't know what kind of miracle it took for him not to be gay.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't going to say that, but yeah.
Because the deleted scenes, he is a total fop.
Oh, he is. Foppy.
Well, there's that whole Frasier episode to that effect, too.
Also, he was in Jeffrey. Remember that movie from the 90s?
Yes, and he's the only good part about that movie, and he's amazing.
Yes, he was brilliant. I think I watched it with you, Mickey, I think.
Probably.
But is there anything he's not amazing in? I mean...
Not that I can think of.
Yeah.
X-Men 3?
Well, if you're going to be
I mean, no matter what you would think about X-Men 3, I personally hate it. If, you know, he had to be a highlight of it.
Yeah, he's not a problem in it.
Right.
No, he's never the problem.
He did the very best he could being mired down in shit.
He did the best he could him to work for Brett Ratner.
Yeah, that too. That's pretty much what I said.
Yeah. All right, so what are we watching next?
Deep Space Nine.
Which episode?
Return to Grace.
Okay. Who's Grace?
Grace Jones.
Let's see. I will go and look the episode up so we can get the number, season and number.
Season 1, episode 1.
No!
Season 1, episode 2.
Sounds like a theme!
Now, do you mean the actual season 1, episode 2, or the second half of Emissary?
Oh, shit, no. I don't know.
Oh my god.
My life is meaningless.
We knew that going
season
into this.
4, episode 14.
Wait, who?
414.
414?
Do you get that format, Max?
Mm-hmm.
Wait. What's the deal with this episode?
What?
What's the deal with this episode? Why are we watching it?
It's the follow-up to Indiscretion that we watched a while back.
Okay.
I figured we should just go ahead and get this out of the way since we're going to do a month of Voyager and then a month of Next Generation.
So in Netflix, it's actually 413.
Yes,
Netflix.
Because the opening of season 4 was a two-hour episode.
I'm just saying. Stop yelling at me, Daddy.
Boy, if I'm the dad of this podcast, something's gone really fucking wrong.
What does that mean? Well,
you are the one fucking all of our moms, so...
Oh!
Well, I guess I'm everyone's daddy by default.
Yeah, right. Alright, so let's say so DS9. I gotta write this down so I don't forget. DS9, 4, 13. And
this is another one of those Deep Space Nine episodes I like a lot and watch frequently.
Return to Grace Jones. Grace Jones. I mean, I don't have to return to Grace Jones because I never left Grace Jones.
That's your fiance, you know.
Don't tell her.
Where did our Grace Jones in joke come from?
Just the fact that she's Grace Jones. Dude, we've been making fun of Grace Jones since the 90s.
Yeah, I know, but I don't really remember like who started that little gag with us where we just repeat her name.
Don't know.
You guys are weird.
I don't know what you're about. Although, speaking of animated series, Linky.
Oh.
Bit.
Hey, speaking of animated series, I found out just recently there's a lot of Mighty Max on YouTube.
There's a lot of Mighty Max on my hard drive, too.
Oh.
That is the dirtiest thing you've ever said.
Do you have all of Mighty Max on your hard drive?
I do.
I might have to get that from you at some point in the future if the quality's good.
It's watchable. It's slightly less than DVD.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, it's VHS quality.
Yeah, as long as it's not like, you know, SLP VHS quality.
The quality wavers from episode to episode, but I don't find anything that's unwatchable.
Okay. I might have to get that from you at some point in the future.
Oh, I miss Tony J.
You know, like perhaps some point in the next 4 weeks when I might be in the vicinity of your place.
Yes, well,
with a large
storage
flash
drive. It should be easy to accomplish.
Do what?
Bring some storage and it should be easy to accomplish.
Well, I do just happen to have the 64 gigabyte flash drive, which I'm sure will be more than adequate for the task.
Let's find out.
Oh, gosh.
I hope you know what 65 megabytes or gigabytes, whatever.
64 gigabytes.
Kind of a big difference, like an order of magnitude. Come on,
your mother. Your mother sucks cock. Shut up.
Several orders of magnitude.
16 megacocks.
7.14 gig.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So.
7 gig of Mighty Max?
Well, there was 50-something episodes?
40.
That's 40. Still, that's good, some pretty high quality vid. Nice.
Or it's just Samurai Pizza Cats and Exo Squad.
I have the commercial release of Exo Squad's first season, which I got for like $3 at Big Lots one time. And then I ripped season 2 off of Hulu a long time ago when that was still a thing to do.
Samurai Pizza Cats is on DVD and on Blu-ray.
And I don't even think it's very expensive.
I would buy it if I ever actually intended to watch it, but I really don't. So I actually could probably delete this and be fine.
And it's also on Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Thanks.
Yeah, and I'm sure Samurai Pizza Cats on DVD can't be that expensive either.
Well, it's highly sought after. By 3 people on Earth, and I'm talking to all of them right now.
That was the weirdest fucking show.
It was very strange.
So, yeah, these things you've linked us to are strange.
Well, my job here is done, then.
See, this looks more like actual animation models than
previous
shows.
Yeah,
I don't really care for the uniform designs, though.
I don't
know.
For a cartoon.
No.
I think they work fine in an animated series. They're a little too silly for live action.
There's something a little bit too 40s German about this Starfleet uniform.
Yeah, it's that Batman animated series kind of look. That Paul Dini kind of...
Paul Dini?
Paul Dini.
No, Paul Dini was a writer, not a designer. That was Bruce Timm.
Oh, you're right. Is it? Yeah, because Paul Dini, he was like producer? He's a writer and producer. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Not the artist. You're right. My bad.
Now, there's just something about this uniform design that's a little bit off-putting.
Nazi?
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing, is it's a lot more militant, and apparently this is like after the Borg had taken over the Federation or something. It's like some like post-apocalyptic Star Trek thing.
I mean, I like some of the concept of this, like having, you know, the sleeves be different colors. That's kind of different and unique-ish. It's a different way to get the same like visual cues out of a Star Trek uniform.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like this uniform better than the Next Gen uniform.
I mean, I could see this kind of being an evolution of the movie uniforms.
The original series movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I like it, because you get the flap going across it.
I think if they didn't have half of it being black, it wouldn't have that, like, imperialistic kind of look to it.
What if it was just gray?
Gray could work.
Yeah.
Or white?
I'll have to say white for admiral uniforms for some reason.
Yeah, you gotta have white for dress uniforms.
No, make the dress uniforms black, like a tuxedo.
It's what you wear after 6.
Yeah, what am I, a farmer?
No, you make the dress uniforms black, and then the shirt is the color of the, you know, the division color. So you just see a little bit of it between the lapels. And they have to be really big lapels, too.
Like, so wide they extend past the shoulders?
Yes. Like, if you put it on backwards, people would think you had wings.
Good stiff breeze and you'll fly away.
We need another division color.
Plaid.
Sound like bright pink.
Well, only if they're exclusively the skirt uniform.
You mean the scants?
Yes. That's the only uniform that division can have.
Ooh, that's sultry purple.
Well, the question is, what division would that be for?
The Prince Division?
Oh my god!
How about just, like, silver?
Oh shit, imagine Prince is captain of a starship.
That would be the most fabulous mission of all time.
He's dead, Jim.
Ooh, wow. Too soon.
I'm the master of too soon. That's what she said.
Too soon!
Now, how about just like a silver division? The uniforms are all like sequin covered.
If they're going to keep going like they're doing the damn MMO, it's going to be the temporal division, because they're all getting a time travel shit way too heavy.
Oh.
Like a bullshit division for, like, Neelix.
The food preparation division?
Well, yeah, but they tell them it's, like, the diplomatic corps or something. That's oh what my. No, that's what they need. That's what they need. They need a division color of white for the diplomatic corps. Basically, it's the, you know, the We Surrender troops.
Oh my god. That little half capes that flutter in the wind.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, Starfleet uniforms with capes.
There you go.
I wonder if Starfleet has funeral directors.
I think they'd kind of have to. If not the ship's counselor, they have someone who's specialized in that division.
I mean, you know, a lot of bodies just end up turning into, like, you know, cubes of cardboard that get pulverized. So, every so often you've got a load of Vulcan into a torpedo, and someone's got to do that.
No. I think your job would actually be very easy, because what you do is you go down to the transporter, recombobulate their last pattern. Of course, they'd just be dead tissue, and then you'd still have a body in an open casket no matter what.
You know, someone's got to arrange that, put, you know, the reconstruction matter into the torpedo tube, you know, and then, like, call the right chaplain to come down to say a few words. And
Right. Like the Regellian, you know, death marchers or something.
You got to put up 3 or 4 of your memorial pads to hand out.
Mm-hmm.
For people to store in their sock drawer for all time.
Amazing, yes. Amazing Grace playing on Vulcan lyre.
Yep.
Also, I'd like to point out, as I'm scrolling down through the Google images looking for funny things about Star Trek, the Superhero Time Presents, that one episode of Star Trek TFRadio.net image shows up in the list.
Fantastic.
That makes me
How
happy.
How far down?
Like 6 miles? I've been scrolling down.
Hey, it's a start.
My finger's cramping up, but yeah.
I'm running out of RAM.
Mickey, I've been to your house. I can't imagine you running out of RAM.
There's a lot of RAM in your house.
How do we cram all that RAM?
Wham-a-lam.
It's a dino jam?